Our Easter service at CCV is going to be different this year, but it's still going to be exciting, and you want to be a part of it. You see, we're one church that meets in many locations all over the valley, and we've never had a chance to all be together for one service. And so we decided this year, let's have one service together. Where are we going to have it? Only place that could hold us was Cardinal Stadium. So we're going to be at the Cardinal Stadium this Easter, April 5th, one service at 10:30. Let me tell you some things so you can be prepared in advance before you come. First of all, the gates open at 8. I want to encourage you to get there early. Try and be in the parking lot at least by 9:30 so you can get into your seat and be ready for all the pre-service activities, because the service will start at 10:30. It's also a family service, so we'll have activity bags available for your kids to keep them occupied during the service. You might want to tailgate with some of your friends. If you do, be sure and get there early again to tailgate before the service. I want to encourage you, don't come alone. Fill the car, carpool, invite your friends and neighbors. This is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime, exciting Easter service, and you won't want to miss it. I'll look forward to seeing you at Cardinal Stadium, Easter Sunday, 10:30. I want to welcome you to CCV on all of our campuses, and pray that this will be an exciting week as we get ready next week for our Easter service together. We're in part two of our series entitled The Unstoppable Church. Last week, Pastor Todd talked about the unstoppable Christian. When you hear the term unstoppable church, what comes to your mind? Is it the size of the church that makes it unstoppable? Is it the impact of the church? Is it the outreach of the church? You see, when I think of an unstoppable church, different churches come to my attention. Probably the first one that comes to my attention is a church that I had the opportunity to visit years ago. It's the Yeouido Full Gospel Church in Seoul, South Korea. It is by far the largest church in the world. I happened to go there that day, an early morning service. They have a large auditorium, and they do a service on the hour all throughout the whole day. And that church attendance is 250,000 people. And so you would say, wow, that's an unstoppable church, by far the largest church in the world. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to preach a week of services at another church in a small town called Tyro, Kansas. It's a town of 215 people, but that church runs almost 1,000 in attendance every weekend in a church of 200. If you would ask me, what about that church? I would say that also is an unstoppable church. Let me show you the graph of another church that you might say is unstoppable. If you look at that church graph, you would say that church is growing and doing great things for God. I want you to know that you are a part of that church on all of our campuses. I believe CCV is an unstoppable church. I believe CCV is an unstoppable church as long as we keep Jesus at the center of everything. You see, God promised in Matthew chapter 16 that the gates of hell could not prevail, could not win against a church that was built on Jesus Christ. So I want us to look today at some of the qualities I believe that must be present if you're going to have an unstoppable church. Number one is the quality of penetration. We must be focused. Because as you read the Bible, many of the word pictures in the Bible have the concept of penetration. The key penetrates the lock. The leaven penetrates the dough. The salt penetrates the food. The light penetrates the darkness. The Bible says it this way: as Christians, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. It also says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You see, this passage says that salt makes things better as it penetrates the food. And light makes things brighter as it penetrates the darkness. And so if your light is not focused, if it's scattered, it has little power or impact. But light, laser focused, does wonders. So you see, the task of the church is not for us to come together every weekend and get in a holy huddle to protect ourselves from the world. Instead, it's to go out into the world and penetrate, impact every area of society with the good news of Jesus Christ. The question is, how do we intentionally find ways to impact and penetrate our culture? First of all, find people with similar location. Find those people you live close to, your neighbors, those people that you work close to, your coworkers, and those people you sit close to, which could be your classmates. These are natural webs of influence that you encounter on a regular basis. Stop and think about the ministry of Jesus Christ. Do you see Jesus as someone that would sit on the street corner and say, "Repent, or you're going to hell"? Would he attend a football game and hold up a John 3:16 sign behind the goalpost? There's nothing wrong with that, but that wasn't Jesus' style of evangelism. He didn't go out of his way to talk to people. He simply encountered and talked to everybody that came across his path. Find people with similar locations. Secondly, find people with similar interests. These are people that like to do what you like to do. It's called you have affinity together. Maybe it's the people that you hike with or play golf with or play board games together or you scrapbook or you ride Harleys or you camp on the weekend or you're involved in a sports fantasy league. You see, these are people that you already connect with because you have similar interests. What I want to encourage you to do is find ways to take those interests and relationships to the next level. Or thirdly, find people in transition. Anytime people experience major change, they're often open to new relationships or new information to help them deal with that change and transition they're going through. What's transitions that people go through? A new baby, a new marriage, a new home, a new job, a new school, a new team. In fact, Alvin Toffler said, "People look for islands of stability when change becomes overwhelming." Repeat that. People look for islands of stability when change becomes overwhelming. Well, what are those islands of stability? One should be the church. One should be the Word of God. You as a believer should be an island of stability to the people around you when they're going through all kinds of change. Fourthly, find people in tension. You see, God uses all kinds of emotional pain to get people's attention. Maybe it's the death of a loved one, or you're going through divorce, or you lost your job, or you're having family problems, or you're experiencing bankruptcy, or you have serious health issues. Those are times of great tension. Listen carefully. I believe you will never impact people around you unless you're praying for opportunities, you're looking for opportunities, and you take advantage of opportunities. I want to repeat that. I think we'll never impact the areas in which we live and the influences we have unless we pray for opportunities, we look for opportunities, and we take advantage of opportunities. I want to share with you a story from Stan Toler's book entitled, "God Has Never Failed Me Yet, But He Sure Scared Me to Death a Few Times." I love the title of that book. In the book, he tells the story about Milton Cunningham. You see, Milton was a missionary who also had a business in Atlanta, Georgia. But one morning, Milton received an emergency phone call that he was needed that day in Dallas, Texas. And so he quickly rushed to the airport, purchased his ticket. There was hardly no seats left, and he found himself in that center seat. And as Milton is on the plane in the middle seat, he noticed a sweet little girl with Down syndrome in the window seat next to him. And she had a lot of things to keep her busy during the flight. Well, Milton was hoping that no one would take that last aisle seat. He'd be able to move over and have some space and work while he was flying to Dallas. But pretty soon, the little girl next to him nudged him and said, "Mister, did you brush your teeth this morning?" Now, that would shock you. And Milton was shocked, and he looked at her and said, "Yes, honey, I did." She said, "Good, because you're supposed to brush your teeth." He started working a little bit at some of the things he had to do, and pretty soon she nudged him again and said, "Mister, do you smoke?" And Milton said, "No, I don't." She said, "Good, because smoking will make you dead." He worked a little bit more, and pretty soon she nudged him a third time and said, "Mister, do you love Jesus?" And Milton smiled and said, "Yes, I'm a Christian, and I love Jesus." She said, "Good, because everybody is supposed to love Jesus." About that time, the door closed, and a man walked down to grab the last aisle seat next to Milton. Milton greeted him, and the man sat down and started to read the newspaper. The plane began to move away from the gate and go down to taxi down the runway. And pretty soon, the little girl nudged Milton. And she said, "Ask him if he brushed his teeth this morning." Milton said, "I can't do that. I don't even know him." She said, go ahead and ask him. So finally, Milton turned to this man he'd never met before in his life and said, my little friend next to me wants to know if you brushed your teeth this morning. Well, of course, the man was shocked, but he looked over at her and smiled and said, yes, I do. And as they were getting ready for the plane to take off, she nudged Milton again and said, ask him if he smokes. Milton said, he doesn't smoke. This is a non-smoking flight. She said, I don't care. Ask him. And so Milton again turned to this guy he'd never met before and said, this little girl wants to know if you smoke. Milton said, no, I don't smoke. She said, tell him that's good because smoking will make you dead. You know where the story's going, don't you? The plane took off. And as they're reaching altitude, believe it or not, the little girl nudged Milton again. And she said, ask him if he loves Jesus. And Milton said, I can't do that. It's too personal. Personally, he'd already asked the guy if he smokes and brushes his teeth. She said, no, ask him, ask him. So finally, Milton the missionary turned to the man next to him and said, my little friend wants to know if you love Jesus. And there was no smile this time. The man said, no, I don't. And then he became very serious and said, you know, I'd like to, but I don't know how. I'm under terrific pressure and stress with my job right now, and my marriage is falling apart. I'd like to be a man of faith. I just don't know how. And you can bet that on the rest of the flight from Atlanta to Dallas, that Milton the missionary had an opportunity to share his faith with this man who desperately needed to know Jesus Christ. And Milton the missionary said this, don't miss this, quote, if a little Down syndrome girl could be the catalyst in winning someone to Christ, what would happen if the rest of us would really get serious about sharing our faith with others? There's a key. You see, we got to pray. We've got to look for opportunities, and we have to take advantage of opportunities. And so there's more than one takeaway today. The first takeaway is this. What's one person that I need to focus on? Would you write their name? What's one person that you've been praying for, you're looking for opportunities, and you're going to take advantage? It could be that one person or family that you need to bring with you to the Easter service at our stadium next week. You say, well, I don't know. Might be embarrassed. No, pick them up. Buy a meal, do whatever it takes. This could be the opportunity that they would, for the first time, go to church and experience Jesus Christ. The first quality of an unstoppable church, we penetrate, we're focused as we go into the world. Secondly, utilization. We must be flexible. Because you see, as we go into every area of society with the gospel, we must utilize every method possible without changing the message. Listen to how the Apostle Paul learned to adapt and adjust in order to reach a wide range of people for Jesus Christ. He said this, even though I'm free of the demands and expectations of everyone, that's a good phrase. Stop right there. Most of us don't share our faith. Why? Because we're worried about everybody's expectations and demands. Where Paul said, I've given my life to Christ, he's the only one I'm concerned about. And so again, Paul said, even though I'm free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people, the religious, the non-religious, the meticulous moralists, or the loose-living immoralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. He said, I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. Notice a couple of things in that passage. Number one, Paul says he didn't take on their way of life. In other words, in trying to become all things to all people, he didn't accept their values and their lifestyle. He did, however, try to understand the world that they were coming from. He tried to walk a mile in their shoes. He didn't change the message because it was the truth, but he changed his methods. He was flexible how he approached different types of people. Now, CCV, as your pastor, let me be very clear. We will not change the message of Jesus Christ because we believe the Word of God is true. However, CCV is very open to change, to be flexible in methods to reach a changing world. You say, well, why in the world are you so flexible? Because the world we're living in is changing all the time. Now, what are some of the changes that are taking place all around us? Well, the first is, you've heard me say this before, I believe the church is now the visiting team. It's changing. I grew up in a time when the church was the home team, and most people loved the church and Christians. That's not true today. Most people look at the laws and everything, they don't like Christians. And so that means if we're the visiting team, we have to change the way we think. We have to think like a missionary instead of a minister. You have to think, because 90% of the people in Phoenix don't go to church, you have to think of reaching them as if you would go to another country that's totally unchristian. And how would you begin to share your life and build relationships to reach out to those people? Church is now the visiting team. Secondly, the church is perceived as judgmental, boring, and irrelevant to life. And what's that mean? Most people today that don't go to church are not asking, is the Bible true? You know what they're asking? That, will the Bible help me live my life on Monday? Does the Bible really say something that's going to help me? And that's why when you come to church each week on all of our campuses, we try to say things that you can relate to your everyday life. Thirdly, that the church today does not have a biblical worldview. A biblical worldview would say what? It would say the Bible is true in all situations. If you don't have a biblical worldview, you would say, well, I believe the Bible is true as long as I agree with it, as long as I don't disagree with how it impacts my life. Statistics say that 50% of pastors in America don't have a biblical worldview. No wonder the church in America is in trouble if its leaders do not believe the Bible is biblically true. Let me share with you a slogan that we use at CCV to keep us true to the Bible but flexible on our methods. If you've been around here a long time, you've heard this, but it's worth saying again and again. Here it is. Here's the slogan: in essentials, unity. We've got to agree on the essentials. What are the essentials? Believe it or not, there are not that many in the Bible. An essential would be, we believe the Bible is the inspired, authoritative Word of God. Secondly, we believe that Jesus is the only way to God. Thirdly, we believe that a person is saved by grace through faith. Those are the essentials that I believe you have to agree on if you're going to be a church. But you know what? The second thing is in non-essentials, liberty. In all those things that don't affect our salvation, we've got to allow liberty. Now hang with me. Most churches split over non-essentials. There are things that are not clear in the Bible, but they're things that you and I have strong opinions about. And often, if we're honest, these opinions are based on church tradition, the church we grew up in, instead of biblical truth. So what are some of those examples of non-essentials? One would be, do you wear a coat and tie to go to church or casual clothes? Some churches split over that. We'd say, no, God looks at the heart, not on the outside. Do you have an organ and a choir or use a band? Non-essential. We can have both. Do you preach with a live person or watch a video? Do you offer an invitation and sing Just As I Am, or do you attend Starting Point to hear about the gospel? There's non-essential. Do you put a CCV sticker on your car? Now we're talking about essentials again. No, you don't have to put a sticker on your car. It's not essential, unless you want to go to heaven. All right? Another non-essential. Do you pass the offering bucket or give online? A few weeks ago, we just stopped passing the offering bucket because so many people give online. Let me give you an update as to what is happening, because a few weeks ago, we said 60% of our people are giving online consistently through electronic means, and we wanted to increase that from 60% to 80%. And what I'm here to tell you is, in just a few weeks, we're not there yet, but we've increased from 60% to 72% of people on all of our campuses that give online. I want to encourage the rest of you that don't yet give electronically or online, I want to encourage you to join us. Take advantage of the many different ways to give consistently. Or some of you might have thought a few weeks ago, as I did, when we quit passing the offering bucket, what's going to happen to the offerings? Are they going to go down? Are they going to go up? I want you to know that we thought they would probably go down first and then go up, and I'm happy to report that it did not go down at all. In fact, it went up slightly, not a lot, but it went up a little. And so I want to say to you on all of our campuses, don't let up. Continue to step up and give generously. You know why? The more generous we are, the more resources we have to reach more people for Jesus Christ and impact this valley. These are all non-essentials, meaning we can still disagree and go to heaven. Remember, non-essentials are things that aren't clear in the Bible. And that's why we do not allow past traditions to take priority over the truth in God's Word. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, love. In other words, in those non-essentials, where you and I may have difference of opinion or we disagree, we've said, you know what? We're going to love each other and continue to work together. That attitude is why I believe God has blessed this church so much. That is why we haven't had a church split in our 33-year history. And so I want us on all of our campuses to repeat this slogan out loud together. Are you ready? In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, love. That's awesome for half of you on all of our campuses. Let's try that again, everybody. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, love. Takeaway number two. One area where I need to be more flexible. Would you write it in there? You might say, you know what, I never thought of this before. This makes sense. I have a strong opinion about something that I used to do at my former church or the way I was raised, but you know what? I really can't find it in the Bible. And so I've had strong opinions, but I'm going to let my opinions back off a little bit and be flexible in order to reach more and more people for Jesus Christ. Would you fill that out? You see, the qualities of an unstoppable church, we penetrate into the culture. We're focused. We utilize every method possible, so we've got to be flexible. And thirdly is the principle of mobilization. We must be servants. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, on that day, on what day? After the stoning of Stephen for his faith, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles, underline all except the apostles, were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. The world was turned upside down with the gospel because the believers took Jesus with them as they were scattered all over the world. What? Everybody left except the apostles. They stayed there. This valley, this world, can never be reached by just professionals alone, which are the pastors. It takes all of us scattering every Monday and taking Jesus with us wherever we go. You see, in the Old Testament, God was always above us. That was the idea in the Old Testament. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. In other words, as you read the Old Testament, read it from the concept of God was impersonal. He was way up there, a long way off. They could never get close to Him. But in the New Testament, God was always with us. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. It became Jesus, and He lived among us. And so in the New Testament, God was seen not way up there. He was seen up close and personal. You could touch Him. You could eat with Him. You could see Him. But today, God is in us. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. God is alive in us. We are the church. He is in us, and we are called out into the world to take Jesus with us. Let me ask you, when you come every weekend to church, to the weekend services, do you come to get what you need to help you make it through the week? Or do you come to celebrate what God has already done in your life and witness through the week? I think it's a totally different perspective on how we come to church. And it's true, we probably want to come to get some help to get through the week, to get through our job or our relationships or whatever. But I believe a church that's alive and unstoppable primarily comes to church every weekend because they've been out being the church on Monday through the week. And they come to celebrate what God is doing in their life and in the lives of those around them. You see, an unstoppable church has members that are mobilized to take Jesus with them everywhere they go. Somebody has compared the church on Sunday to a football game. They said this way, in a football game, there are 22 people on the field in desperate need of rest, and there are thousands of people in the stands in desperate need of exercise. And interesting, you go to a football game, all those guys need rest, and all of us that are sitting there cheering need some exercise. If we're not careful, that's the same thing that happens in the church. On all of our campuses, there's a few people on stage for service after service after service that need some rest, and there's a lot of people in the stands that need to get up and get in the game. You see, my role as your pastor is to get you ready to play the game. And so I want all of you to say together, Pastor, I need you. Okay?
Pastor, I need you.
Now, for the rest of you that think you need me, let's try it again. Pastor, I need you. That's my role. You need me, whether you know it or not. The Bible tells us that. Your role as members, then, is to get in the game and play the game. And so as a pastor or a staff, I would say, I need you. We need you. The church needs you. Listen to what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 4. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Hang on. There's my role, pastor, teacher. What's the role? To prepare God's people, that's you, on all of our campuses for works of service. Why? So that the body of Christ can be built up and we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Hang with me. How does a church get unified? When everybody's serving. You want a team to come together? It's everybody getting the game and playing. It's not when you go to practice and everybody sits down and watches two guys run all the wind sprints. It says what? And then we become mature. In other words, service is a way that unifies us and it makes us mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so my role again is to prepare you for works of ministry and service both inside and outside the church. And your role is to find a place that you can serve and make a difference. Those three words are tied together: serve, unity, and maturity. But think about it. Some Christians spend all of their lives preparing to play, but never play the game. They go to Bible studies, they go to prayer meetings, they go to Bible studies, they go to church, they go to Bible studies, they go to church, they go to prayer meetings, they go to Bible studies, they go to church, and they do it over and over and over again. But they never serve. They never give. The Bible says faith without works is dead. There's nothing wrong with Bible study and prayer and worship. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Those are great. Those are necessary. But if we're not careful, they tend to be self-focused. I will go to the Bible study as long as I get what I want, more knowledge. I'll come to church if you give me what I want. But when you're serving and giving, it's not self-focused, it's others-focused. It is one of the keys to maturity. And if we're not careful, most of us, listen carefully, are educated beyond our obedience. We know what we're supposed to do. We just have a hard time of doing it. A football team can't win if they practice, go into the huddle, but never break the huddle and run the play. A soldier can never defeat the enemy if he never leaves boot camp. And a church can never win if all the members are spectators and never get in the game and serve. You see, each week at CCV on all of our campuses, over 7,000 people are servants and ministry partners. And I want to say praise God for all of you that step up and serve faithfully. But you know what that also means? That means 30% of you on all of our campuses are serving, you're in the game, and 70% are still in the stands week after week watching. And in love, as your pastor, you want to grow up and mature? Play the game. Play the game. Because if we only have 30% playing the game, that is not the formula for an unstoppable church. That's the formula for mediocrity. You show me an unstoppable church, you show me an unstoppable team, it's where everybody is on the same page and they're giving it all they got and they're playing to win. So what's the takeaway? Third takeaway, one ministry where I need to serve. One ministry where I need to serve, because you say, man, I want to mature. I want to grow, become more like Christ. Ephesians 4 says that's the way we do it. We've got to get in there and serve and grow together and reach unity and become more and more like Christ. So the quality of an unstoppable church, penetration, we've got to be focused, because we're going to go into every area of this valley with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got to utilize every method possible. And because the world is changing so much, we've got to be flexible. And thirdly, we've got to mobilize. We need every member to say, I will be in ministry and serve and give whatever it takes to reach people far from God. That's an unstoppable church. And that's the kind of church that I want to be a part of. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the way you've blessed our church over the years. And we pray that we would never get complacent, because you blessed us and put us in an area of the country where many people have been burnt out, turned off, and just unconcerned about you and your church. So help us to pray for, look for, take advantage of the opportunities that come our way. And we pray that because we're on a winning team, the Church of Jesus Christ. The gates of hell cannot stop us. And you would CCV as an unstoppable church to help reach this valley for Jesus Christ. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. On all of our campuses, I just want to give you all the same kind of announcements here. Listen carefully. Easter next week is going to be exciting. And I've changed my prayers. I was saying, Lord, give us so many people. And this week, I'm going to be praying that people won't be able to get in. It'll be so full, it'll be packed out, that it would be something that this valley has never seen for the cause of Jesus Christ. And I want to say to you, we've told you week after week, the parking lot opens at 8. So if you want to tailgate, get in there early. Traffic will be a little different if you've never been to the stadium, so don't get discouraged. Hang in there, but try and be in the parking lot by 9:30 so you can get into the auditorium by at least 10 to 10:30, and there'll be some pre-service activities for everybody. So please come early. Carpool together. Fill up your car. This will be a family-friendly service. One thing I haven't said that I want to say to all of our campuses, and it is this. There's going to be thousands of people at this church service at the stadium, first time they've ever gone to church. And so as you sit down, have time before the service, please take the initiative and introduce yourself to the people around you. Just be friendly. If you see a need that they have, don't be afraid to try and meet that need. That could make all the difference in the world. Please help us if you can. It's going to be great.